This is the Daily Detail, powered by 1819 News. Honest news.
Alabama.
Our great state.
The voice of Alabama values.
Alabama. Unbelievable people.
And now, here is Andrea Tice.
This past Tuesday night, the U.S. Senate voted and passed a $95 billion foreign aid package that sends more U.S. taxpayer money overseas to the countries of Ukraine, Israel, Gaza, and Taiwan. U.S. Senator Katie Britt voted in the same manner as the establishment Republicans did, like Mitch McConnell and Mitt Romney, by approving the bill. Britt said the bill is imperfect but has positive aspects, such as boosting missile production here in Alabama. Senator Tommy Tuberville is recorded as not voting on the legislation. Tuberville railed against the bill on the Senate floor, calling it a representation of the swamp at its worst.
Less than a week ago, House Republican leadership sold out Americans and passed a bill that sends $95 billion to other countries. With Speaker's blessing, the House Rules Committee approved a package of foreign aid bills that undermines America's interest abroad and paves our nation's path to bankruptcy. The Speaker relied on Democrats to force this $95 billion package through committee over the objection of three conservative members. Unfortunately, our leadership here in the Senate, both Democrat and Republican, are complicit. The Senate is about to follow the House's lead, further violating the trust of those who sent us here. We're about to vote on another $60 billion for Ukraine. This on top of the $120 billion American taxpayers have already sent to this black hole with no accountability. We are a country that is $35 trillion in debt. We are a country whose southern border is wide open thanks to the Biden administration. Illegal immigrants are invading our country. Drugs, including fentanyl, are flooding across, killing hundreds of Americans a day. We are printing money for other countries while inflation continues to crush the American citizen. Not $1 of this bill is paid. Not one. We will have to print more money or borrow it from China, all to fund foreign wars while we are losing the fight at our own southern border.
Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall has repeated once again his objections to the two gambling bills that are currently in a conference committee within the state legislature. Marshall recently spoke on Talk 99.5 radio out of Birmingham, and when he was asked about whether or not he would vote for the two bills, he said no. Marshall indicated his main objection is the fact that a gaming commission would be created and take away authority from current law enforcement agencies in order to enforce the gambling laws. Marshall says that current state law against illegal gambling could be enforced by law enforcement right now in every county if those law enforcement agencies would be willing to do their job. A bill has been passed out of the Alabama House Committee on Homeland Security after a vote on that bill in committee was delayed on two separate occasions. The bill is HB 376, or the Laken Riley Act. It allows for local and state law enforcement to enforce federal immigration and custom laws, which includes the detention and removal of illegal aliens. It also allows for the checking on immigration status of persons living here in the state. The bill heads to the full House for consideration. The bill's sponsor, State Representative Ernie Yarbrough, named the bill after the Georgia nursing student, Laken Riley, who was brutally murdered this past February by an illegal alien. 26-year-old Jose Ibarra of Venezuela abducted Laken Riley while she was jogging on the UGA campus. A report from a former U.S. attorney, Kenyon Brown, that was sent to the city of Mobile about the policies and procedures of the Mobile Police Department has been released in redacted form earlier this week. Now that the report is out, there are members from within the Mobile Police Department that are responding to that report with criticism. Major Philip McCrary says that the report from Brown has numerous inaccuracies, assumptions, and legal violations. McCrary told 1819 News reporter Erica Thomas that his command staff teams will be addressing these issues with facts, and that'll happen sometime next week. McCrary says he and others will not sit quietly by and not protect the honor and integrity of the department, especially when it comes to the report apparently discrediting one of the high-ranking command officers. Governor Ivey has appointed Ben Baxley to be the district judge in Elmore County. Baxley will fill the vacancy that was left by Patrick Pinkston, who went on to become a circuit judge in the 19th Judicial District. Governor Ivey says that Baxley brings to the table 35 years of experience within the state and federal judicial systems and will bring great knowledge as well as integrity to this court. The latest position that Baxley has been holding before the governor's appointment was within the Alabama Attorney General's office as chief of the Opinions Division. Baxley officially becomes a district judge on May 17th. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service announces a plan to remove a dam in Coffee County. The Elba Hydroelectric Dam has become a hazard to fish and wildlife and has increased the risk of flooding for the town of Elba. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Services says that the inactive dam is also a barrier for fish that are moving along the Chattahoochee River Basin. The removal project will cost nearly $2 million. For more in-depth stories affecting the state of Alabama, go to 1819news.com. In national news, U.S. troops stationed in the country of Niger are apparently going to be withdrawing completely and coming back to the U.S. U.S. Deputy Secretary of State Kirk Campbell has met with Niger's prime minister to reach an agreement on the terms of the withdrawal, and this is all coming according to the New York Times. There are over 1,000 U.S. troops in that country who have been working under lamentable conditions that was only recently brought to light on the U.S. House floor by Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz. The removal of U.S. troops from Niger, as well as the African continent overall, is concerning in light of Niger's continued relationship with Russia and Iran. Last month, the military cooperation deal between the U.S. and Niger was revoked, leaving the U.S. to maintain a diplomatic presence only in that country. The U.S. State Department believes that French forces will not be far behind in being pushed out of that country as well. Joe Biden signs a ban on the TikTok app that goes into effect if the company does not divest itself of Chinese ties and be purchased by an American parent company. Biden signed the bill, which was attached to a spending bill for more U.S. taxpayer money to be sent to foreign countries like Ukraine and Israel. The parent company of TikTok is ByteDance. They are now looking into multiple options in response to this legislation, including a possible legal challenge. Axios is reporting that the plan is to file a lawsuit and invoke the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution as their defense, which, if that is actually done, would be deeply ironic, coming from a company that answers first and foremost to the Chinese Communist government. The company has a year to find a buyer before the banning goes into effect. Speaking of legal battles, today the U.S. Supreme Court will be hearing oral arguments in the appeals case coming from Donald Trump over presidential immunity. Trump will not be able to be in the hearings at the high court due to the ongoing trial that is happening in a Manhattan courthouse in one of the many other cases that have been launched against Trump during this election year. This particular case comes from Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg and has to do with a payment made to Stormy Daniels for her silence on a potential indiscretion that occurred between her and Trump. Bragg claims all of that was a violation of campaign finance law. Incidentally, the man who is leading the arguments in this trial for the prosecution is not Bragg at all. Instead, it's Matthew Colangelo, who has been working for the Biden administration up until this case was revived and reissued against Trump. Colangelo left his job in D.C. to take on this case against Trump. Mike Davis, the founder of the Article 3 Project, spoke on Joe Pag's show about this incredible collusion that occurred from the White House.
Going into the Biden Justice Department, he was the acting number three, the acting associate attorney general, a huge job that oversees the entire civil side of the Justice Department, including civil rights, civil tax, antitrust, Office of Justice programs, a whole litany of jobs. But then he left that very prestigious job. He ended up being the number two to the number three when Vinita Gupta, this left-wing radical, got confirmed by the Senate. And then he left that job to go to Bragg's office to essentially wage this lawfare and election interference against Trump. It is a completely bogus case based upon a bogus legal theory that will not be upheld on appeal, but all they care about, this Soros-funded Manhattan DA, Alvin Bragg, Matthew Colangelo, Judge Marchand, all they care about is getting Trump convicted of a felony before November 5th, 2024, because they think that will change the election.
State lawmakers in the Tennessee House have caused a big brouhaha among Democrats and other anti-gun protesters by passing a measure that allows teachers and school staff to carry concealed handguns on school grounds. The bill requires a teacher to complete 40 hours of handgun and school policing training in order to carry that firearm. The Tennessee State Senate already passed this bill last month, so the bill is headed to the governor's desk for possible signature. State Representative Ryan Williams in Tennessee says what this bill does is create a deterrent for any type of school shooting. The bill comes 1 year after a shooter gained entry to a private school in Nashville, killing 3 adults and 3 children. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton is celebrating a victory in trying to curtail a push from Democrats in that state to continue no-excuses mail-in ballots. This week, the U.S. Supreme Court declined to hear a case that had been brought to them by a political group that was challenging the Texas law that restricts mail-in voting. The law will remain in effect, which requires all eligible voters to cast a ballot in person unless they meet certain exceptions. Paxton said that many states were irresponsible and unconstitutional in the changes that were made in voting policies before the 2020 election, but he says that Texas did not do that and that this has been a hard-fought battle ever since to uphold Texas law and the integrity of elections. A hospital medical coder is speaking out now about what she witnessed in the weeks and months following the rollout of the COVID-19 vaccine. The whistleblower goes by the name of Zoe, and she spoke exclusively with the Children's Health Defense Organization.
I didn't know it was possible for a human to die so horrifically and so quickly before they rolled out the mRNA injections. It was insane. I've never seen anything like that. The worst of them were the ones, they called it sepsis, but it was like instant multi-organ failure. Like within hours, patients would die of liver, lung, kidney, all at once failure, respiratory failure. It was like their, some of the records, the emergency crew that found them, it's like their body tried to reject everything, and some of these cases, like their family would be there 30 minutes before, and then within an hour, they're dead. And then there were patients coming in with seizures like I've never seen before. We couldn't control some of them. Days, patients would be seizing, and no medications would stop it. And eventually they kind of had to be put down. There were blood clots, strokes. The clots were insane. Never seen clots like that before. People in their 20s that had been hiking that were totally healthy, had been running marathons, that suddenly needed a leg amputated because they had a massive blood clot going from their hip all the way down to their leg, and it couldn't be saved. And the doctors were, you know, baffled. They weren't connecting the dots. But to me, knowing what the potential causes or potential symptoms of a vaccine injury could be, we 100% had all of the things that I just described. But doctors would never tell you that. They would just say it's a stroke, it's a heart attack, it's a blood clot, and they would never connect the two.
Is there anything that would make you take a vaccination of any kind ever again?
They would have to kill me. Nothing. Nothing would make me take it.
You're listening to The Daily Detail from 1819 News. If you are enjoying The Daily Detail and want to make sure that these reports come up easily on your smartphone, then be sure to hit the subscribe or follow button on whatever podcasting app you are using. It's usually on the main page of The Daily Detail. That could be on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Podbeam, or some other app. And also be sure to visit 1819 News for more reliable, up-to-date information on what's going on around here in Alabama. You can also join 1819 News by becoming a member, which will get you exclusive content as well as 1819 merchandise. You can visit 1819news.com/membership to learn more. I'm Andrea Tice. I'll be back again tomorrow. I look forward to updating
Alabama.
You then.
Alabama.
Our great state.
Alabama.
Of Alabama.
This has been The Daily Detail. For more up-to-date news, go to 1819news.com, where you'll find honest news and Alabama values.